Actual Fluency Podcast, episode 35, Conna Klein, part 2.
Welcome to the Actual Fluency Podcast, the podcast that gives you the tools and inspiration to learn languages faster and more efficiently. And now your host, Chris Broholm.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Actual Fluency Podcast, the podcast for language learners and aspiring polyglots, and everyone else who's interested in language learning and acquisition. Today, I'm bringing the second part of the interview with Conna Klein, the language czar, and I hope you all enjoyed last week's episode where me and Conna went into kind of how he learns languages, sort of what he's learned throughout the years, learning over 11 languages. So this week is going to be a continuation, but there was a natural kind of break in the discussion, whereas last time we talked about general how to learn and how to improve a learner and methods and habits and everything that's kind of part of the method. And this week we kind of shift the perspective a little bit on practical applications. So I asked Conna about how to use the language in sort of a practical setting. And we also go into, you know, how to learn how to speak the language, which is quite, you know, different from just learning vocabulary or reading a book. So this week is quite specific. It's very practical. And we also get into a lot of kind of Russian. And we get into Russian because a lot of people love to hear more about Russian. And also because it's the language that I'm studying at the moment. So that's, you know, one of those perks about being the host of a weekly podcast is I can always ask the guests about what's troubling me at the moment. And I get into a funny story that happened recently at the local library. And I'm not going to spoil it. So you'll have to listen to the interview segment in just a minute. But before I let you go, I just wanted to give you a quick what's been going on the blog lately. You know, this podcast, Actual Fluency, is part of a blog as well. And on the blog, there's been some interesting things happening lately. First of all, I added self-development as a kind of a category, and I wrote my first post, which received a lot of attention. So if you go to the blog and look for the post called From Depressed to Pumped at 5 a.m. or thereabouts, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. You can read that post about my kind of self-development journey, at least the beginning of it, and why that's interesting for us language learners. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I've started publishing kind of tutoring sessions from iTalki where I'm being tutored in Russian and you can hear me. I mean, it's the whole session. There's no editing. There's no nothing. I sound like an idiot. And, you know, that was kind of my goal, to put myself out there, because that's one of the problems I've been having. And, you know, people have commented that they really like this format of being kind of a fly on the wall for the tutoring session. So, and that mostly takes place over on the YouTube channel, although you can find some information about it in the blog posts. But if you are interested in hearing me sort of stumble and fail miserably at Russian, then you can go to youtube.com/actualfluency and you'll find it. And I called it Chris Russian Tutoring sessions, but with the torturing crossed over instead of tutoring. So I thought that was kind of a little funny pun there, or maybe not even a pun, but a little play on words anyway. And that's about it, basically. You know, that's what's been going on. And I also, another interesting post I recently posted was the question to answer, what language should I learn? And you might be sitting out there not knowing what language you should study next. You might know, I want to study languages. I want to learn more languages, but I don't have, you know, a German grandmother or a Spanish girlfriend, or, you know, you don't have any connection to another language personally, but you still want to learn languages. And this is kind of a problem that I had, because I didn't really, you know, I'm born and raised in Denmark. As far as I know, my entire family is Danish. I don't know any family members who live abroad, and the kind of abroad friends I have are mostly from English speaking countries like England and America. So I haven't really had a personal connection, but I found it during using some of the tips that I laid out in this post, I kind of, you know, got to grips with what language I should study. And I'm very happy with the picking up Russian. I took it based on a video game. I've been playing a video game for a long time, and there was a lot of Russian players in it, a big Russian scene, as they call it, lots of commentators and events and stuff. So I chose it based on that. But if you want to read that post, you know, go to actualfluency.com/blog, and it's one of the newest posts there. If you are listening to this in the future, you can go to actualfluency.com/select. So selecting the next language. And that's a little shortcut for you there. But before I ramble too much, I just want to say thank you for listening. And as always, have a great day, learn some languages and give them hell. But today, or right now rather, listen to the final part of the interview with Connor Klein, aka Language Tsar. You mentioned that you were learning, or I don't know if you're actively doing it right now, but you definitely have been learning Russian at some point. And
that's right. Yeah.
And I'm as well.
And excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
Давай поговорим по-русски сейчас.
Да, да. That could be very interesting. I would do the actual fluency podcast in Russian.
Awesome. Well, we can maybe you need a little bit of time to prepare for that, but
yeah.
I'm open for it next time, yeah. If I'm ever invited back.
Yeah, of course, you're welcome anytime. But I guess a funny story about being put on the spot like you just did there was I was in the library the other day, and there's a Russian section even in my little Danish town, you know, just a few hundred thousand people live here. And, you know, immigrants, there's not that many immigrants in Denmark. And if they are, they're usually from the Middle East. So there's not that many Russian immigrants. But there was a small Russian section, and I was standing there, you know, looking at the easy readers for people with 1,000-word vocabulary and below. And a woman came over to me and, you know, she said, like, I mean, I obviously understand more than I can speak. And I don't know if that's typical for Russian, but I find that it's much harder to generate sentences that it is to understand them. But she asked me in Russian if there were any interesting books. And, you know, I was just so stumped to find a Russian speaker in my home city that I could barely say privyet, you know. And, I don't know if you have any tips for me in that scenario when I, you know, my problem is generating, because I have a pretty decent vocabulary, I think, at least. Well, decent depends on how you evaluate it, but I should be able to, you know, have a 2-minute conversation in a library. So what's my problem?
Yeah, I think you were just caught off guard, right? I mean, right. It sometimes can be difficult to switch into a language, especially if you don't have that much practice speaking with native speakers. And that happened to me a little bit, I think, in Romania recently, actually, where I was kind of, where was I? I was at a bar with some friends, and all of a sudden they wanted to hear me in Romanian, right? But I had been speaking for the previous hour in English and German, and they just turned around and said something very, very simple. But it just caught me a guard, and I didn't understand from the intuition. I don't know. So I looked like a bit of looked a little bit slow, to say the least, in getting started. But I guess you just gotta. What's important is to just stay composed and just give yourself a few seconds to think, and
right.
Then just, you know, just start speaking. At least say something. Even if it's wrong, normally the person will correct you. So then you'll get into the rhythm of speaking the language. I mean, I would have the same problem probably in. I would definitely have the same problem in Ukrainian. It can be a little bit tricky to speak it, especially. If you're, it's only really in certain parts of the country, of course, in Ukraine, if you travel to Ukraine, for example, not everywhere is Ukrainian the lingua franca, the first language that people will speak to you on the street. A lot of times they will speak to you in Russian. Mm-hmm. And because I speak reasonably good Russian and very little Ukrainian, it can be tricky then when I go to a part of the country where people speak Ukrainian in everyday life, in restaurants, on the street, and I don't have the words just so quickly to reply in Ukrainian, and then I start speaking in Russian,
right.
And of course they understand, they will reply in Ukrainian, but yeah, it would be better if I could just get those words out first. So it just depends on your comfort zone and what you've been used to, and if you're used to switching languages an awful lot several times a day, it becomes less and less of a a task or a difficulty, definitely. It's just, I think the important thing is to stay composed.
Right. Take a deep breath.
Put off. Take a deep breath. I mean, it's a bit, there it's more a spontaneous social interaction, right, in the library. But for example, I noticed a lot of, especially English speakers who are learning language, are very intimidated because they're in a country, for example, where English is widely spoken by the local population, and they go to order at the bar and the people just reply in English. Right. Some sort of that. In the Netherlands, probably in Denmark, I've just been to Copenhagen. I don't know what happens in the rest of the country, and I don't speak Danish, so for me, it wasn't difficult to experience for myself. But there you just got to take a deep breath and just reply in the local language, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's not so... Most people, if they continue speaking English, you can kind of shame them a little bit and say, well, actually, I came here to learn the language, and I appreciate if you reply in the local tongue rather having this kind of battle where you reply in English and I speak in Danish if we're in Denmark, and it doesn't make sense because you're the person who's Danish and I'm the person who speaks English as their native language. But these people have got to sell you something. That's the way I look at it. So ultimately, they're going to have to find a way of communicating if they don't, for example, if you don't have the words in Russian and you find yourself in St. Petersburg. Yeah, you're going to have to find a way of communicating. So eventually it will come out. It's just the confidence that you gain from having done these, been in these situations multiple times. And, right. You know, the world doesn't end because you can't find the words in Russian.
I'm sure
next time you go to the library, she will still be nice to you and still try to speak to you in Russian. So, yeah.
If she's there again, I don't know. I could just wait around in the Russian section, I guess, for somebody to come over.
You'll loiter in there hoping to, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a
pounce on someone.
It is generally a bit of a problem, you know. I see people from much more culturally diverse cities, and they just go out and they just find 15 different languages in 20 minutes. And, you know, I'm lucky if I hear two during the day. So it is kind of hard. And that's also why I guess I kind of kicked myself a little bit, because I was like, you know, you're looking for opportunities to practice your Russian all the time. You're doing tons of, you know, memorizing, you have weekly lessons, and then you just walk away from such a beautiful opportunity to practice because you couldn't get the first sentence out. So, you know, that was also part of the annoyance. It wasn't so much my own ability. It was just that I didn't kind of, like you said, take a deep breath and persevere and then enjoy that I actually got an opportunity to speak it, because it doesn't happen often around here. And I think many people have it exactly the same way. They might live in a community where it's mostly the same sort of ethnic background or the same language.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, when you start speaking about the opportunity to converse in, say, 15 languages within 20 minutes, I'm reminded of the short documentary film about Tim Doerner, who's from New York City, and in a short number of years, he's learned to speak in a huge number of languages. And part of that is because he lives in New York City, so he gets the opportunity to go to the, you know, the bookstore, Farsi bookstore, and chats to them in Farsi, and then goes to, I don't know, a Russian neighborhood, you know, probably not very far away, and gets to speak in Russian in the shop.
Must be fantastic.
So if you don't have that geographically at your disposal, then you can also create it in a virtual world, for sure. There are enough opportunities online to find people who speak those languages. Right. But my own experience with that was, I spoke to a lot of people in the beginning who spoke this language using these sites where you can find native speakers of the various languages. I mean, I helped them with English. They're supposed to help me with, say, Spanish if they're from Latin America or Spain. But I ended up speaking to a lot of people I was not so interested in maintaining contact with, just because it's a lottery, who you end up speaking to. And that meant I had a lot of very superficial conversations that were very basic and no motivation to maintain contact with the person. So the advantage is, if you travel a lot and you build up friendships with people who speak from different countries, who speak different languages, then you don't even have to make much of an effort. You will be, you know, chatting to them excitedly about something you're interested in,
right,
because they're your friends. And you will get the feedback from just watching how they reply and what they write in the chat or what they say to you in person or on Skype or Facebook chat.
But it's just so different in real life, I feel like. I feel like when I'm on iTalki and I sit here, I can kind of hide a little bit behind my computer and, you know, I can take a little bit longer for every answer, so it doesn't feel as kind of difficult. But if you're in real life, I feel the pressure is really on. And I guess that's one of the things I should be working on to improve that.
Yeah, but being exposed to these pressure situations will allow you to develop the tools to cope with them, as long as you have the right, I guess, reaction to it, right? That, okay, you missed one opportunity, you're kicking yourself after your Russian library, a missed opportunity, but there will be other opportunities. Next time you'll be more determined to.
Right.
To chat him a little bit Russian, maybe you won't understand. You know, that's unfortunate reality. If you don't speak a language very well, that a lot of times you're gonna, you know, just not get what they're saying. But you know, people are speaking to you, then slowly but surely, most people are friendly and helpful when you're trying to speak their language.
For sure. I mean, I've worked together with a person from Russia, now lives in England. And I think I said hello, my name is, or something, you know, very basic. And he was almost applauding me as a native speaker, you know. But Russian people are so friendly, I found, and they're very patient with me, everyone I've talked to anyway. So that's at least a huge plus.
That's great. Well, you're not in Russia, so they understand that you clearly don't speak it or shouldn't necessarily be able to speak it so well.
Right.
And so try going to a train station in the former Soviet Union and not being able to speak good Russian and see how patient they are when you're trying to buy your ticket. It's a lot less so. And there you have real pressure. I've had several friends who've called me from train stations and asked to be rescued because they just could not buy a ticket. So I had to get in a taxi and go to the train station. And there they just don't get that. Yeah, I don't understand what you're saying. So
Russian immigrants are very, very friendly, at least.
I would say most Russian speakers wherever I've gone to have been friendly. I think it's just that in these kind of, I guess, the train station, when someone's serving you or supposed to be serving you, there's not really service in the train station. There you're trying to buy a ticket and they're annoyed by your presence, the fact that you're like the 100th person who's come in the last hour to buy a ticket and you don't know, you know, what kind of carriage you want to sit in, the type you want first, second class. You don't understand anything. And what I've seen from a lot of my friends are ordeals in the former Soviet Union is that they don't really make much of an effort just to sell you a ticket. They just keep mumbling about what kind of ticket. So you have to be prepared for that a little bit. Right. But yeah, you'd go through it once. I the very first time I bought a train ticket in Ukraine, I got the wrong ticket. So yeah, you just learn from this. And then the next time you're a little bit extra careful about what kind of ticket you get.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Fantastic. And of course, that's a traveling or a social top tip. But do you have any sort of here last minute? Do you have any top three tips for people learning Russian? Like what kind of aha moments did you come across whilst you were learning it?
Well, I think if someone's approaching it for the first time with no experience of a Slavic language or a language that's written in Cyrillic, which I guess they're probably all, except for maybe Moldovan in Transnistria, written, they're all Slavic languages written in Cyrillic. Actually in Central Asia, there are also some. Don't be scared by the alphabet. It takes about a week and you'll begin to use it perfectly. Start using I personally didn't spend a lot of time learning how to write the letters by hand because I don't need to write them by hand. It's extremely rare I write anything with a pen. So learn how to touch type in Cyrillic almost immediately. I would focus, even if it takes you, it's very frustrating in the beginning. I would not use a phonetic keyboard because I just think that's a little bit distracting. I think ultimately you will get more out of it. You just spend the time in the beginning and learn how to touch type with the Cyrillic, right? One tip to learn that is actually there are normally on-screen keyboards that will come up as a small window in the corner of your screen on the computer, and then you can see it at the same time, so you don't have to look down at the keys. So that's something I found very useful. Don't be so worried about things like perfective and imperfective at the beginning because people understand you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're approaching first time, just make sure that you are able to say one of them, and then you will notice after a while that there are differences. But the important thing in the beginning is always to be able to communicate, get things, you know, get the ball over the net, and then you'll get the feedback from people. So it's important just to be able to make some progress in the beginning, rather than get too tied up about whether you're using the right, prefix to the verb or not. And then you want a third tip for learning Russian. I think like all languages, the pronunciation is quite important. There are certain sounds that are very different if your native tongue is, say, something Germanic in root or Latin in root. So that's just important to get right. They're just made in a different part of the mouth. So you need to get those right in the beginning, because you will have problems with people understanding you if you use the wrong one. But I think in general, Russian people are pretty, they give you a lot of leeway. They're not so strict. People in general tend to understand more or less what you need, and take every opportunity you can to travel to countries where the language is spoken, get as much into the culture and the actual places where the language is spoken. And then you'll definitely be maintain your motivation a lot more. So that's what I would say is a tip specifically for Russian. That's what I would say.
Great, great. That's a good little top four. I got it to at the end there, I think.
Great, I give you one extra for free there.
Yeah, we got a bonus. And I think the pronunciation is something that I've been listening more intensely now on the memorizers. I'm using a course with audio, and I've been paying more attention, and I still have trouble with, I know you're not supposed to give me a Russian lesson here, but the things that I am very interested about is the difference between soft silent T and just the T, and then the difference between the sh and sh.
That's too very difficult.
Very curious. And, it, you know, obviously there's spelling rules, which help when you have to type a word. You can remember then if there's a K, it's, you know, I-Y and not I-E. You know, that's very helpful, I think. I'll probably just add that as a note on the, you know, that goes kind of with pronunciation, that if you're trying to type a word by ear, knowing the spelling rules is very, I found that very helpful. And there are,
I think that's a great tip
as well. But, you know, I've been typing, I'm doing this crazy challenge with, 70 new memorized words a day. And
Yeah,
it's completely insane. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I've been slacking off in the beginning of the year. So I decided to go crazy. And, you know, I'm typing a lot of Russian words lately, and I'm discovering all sorts of connections. And I find that really exciting about Russian. And, you know, how all the roots kind of mean something. And then you can kind of, if you know what the root means, then you can kind of interpret it. So you don't necessarily need to know every word, but you can, you know, there's noun endings and there's, you know, obviously verb endings as well. But it just starts to make sense when you do a lot of typing, I feel like. So I would, you know, kind of echo your sentiment with the typing. And, you know, I probably did it the worst way possible. I did, like you said, with the, I learned the alphabet immediately. I didn't do any phonetic writing. I thought that was pretty silly. But what I did was I took that on-screen keyboard, and you can just Google Cyrillic keyboard, whatever, and it'll come up as a first hit. But, and then I just kind of started to guess with my fingers, and it took literally years to learn, and I'm still pretty slow. But I think that by putting in a lot of effort in the beginning, I'm kind of, I mean, it feels pretty natural now for me to write in Russian to people on Facebook and stuff, you know, seven months in and stuff. And I don't know if I want to recommend it, but some person said to me that you can go on Amazon and buy a $2 sticker set where you can actually put the Russian keys on your own keyboard. I would probably recommend that instead.
I actually did that. I had both. I had the stickers. I ordered them online. I had put them on all my computers when I started learning. So my laptop, on my work computer, everything. And I also had the on-screen keyboard. I don't see why you can't have both.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. And then, yeah, the elements that you pointed out about the soft sign and the other things, like what the two different, the very close sounding sh and sh, they are things that are very different to what you've been exposed to in other languages. So they just take a little bit of time. You should listen to them, try it. It's not easy to identify the differences in the beginning, but I find that if you listen to it, you record yourself saying it, and then you have a tutor who's going to point out exactly where in the mouth that the two sounds are made differently, then over a little bit of time, you're going to start to pronounce them and actually hear the difference yourself. But these things, and it's the same in Romanian, I really struggle with a lot of the different kind of vowel sounds that are made in awkward parts of the mouth for a native English speaker. So yeah, it's the same thing everybody goes through. I think if you do the heavy work, but in the time in the very beginning, like learning how to touch type in Cyrillic and learning how to pronounce these awkward sounds in the very beginning, it may be frustrating, and it may take you quite a long you know, investment of time right up front, but then afterwards it's just a lot easier. You're going to not struggle as you, you know, as you go on. Going forward, I mean, I'm currently focusing on Russian, Romanian, Ukrainian. So I'm trying to make progress at the moment in those three languages while spending as much time as I can in the region where they're spoken. So trying to expose myself to it as much as possible. So then over time, you're going to see more and more videos in those languages, and people who follow Language Czar can judge my progress and see where I need to improve. That's one great thing about having the website and doing the videos, is that a lot of people write really constructive tips and feedback to how I sound in their native language. So that's great. Something I didn't really expect, but a lot of people are very helpful to say, Connor, no, you need to do it this way. It's slightly off, and that's great, because in the beginning I never recorded myself, not even for my own personal reasons and intuition. And now I realize that, yeah, of course, you do a video and then you say, why does my accent sound slightly off? Why in Italian do I sound like my first language is German or something, and not even English, you know? But you don't realize these things until you see yourself a little bit more objectively, and you can review how you've been sounding, because in the moment you don't really realize it. So that's another tip I would give people, is record yourself and listen to it, and maybe take a very short dialogue, just a few sentences that you can hear the native speaker maybe speak. Either you got a tutor, or you heard it online, you have it recorded, and then listen to yourself several times, repeat it until you can get closer and closer to their pronunciation. I think I found that quite useful in the past. So Russian, Romanian, Ukrainian are the ones I'm focusing on the moment. Maybe in 2015, I'll take on a new language. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at several. I had a great time at the Polyglot Conference in Novi Sad in Serbia last month, and I had really, it was fantastic. The Balkans hospitality, it's gotten me very much interested in the region's culture again. I also studied a bit at university, so maybe perhaps I will try to learn one of the Balkan languages in 2015. We'll just have to see.
Cool. And of course, people can follow your progress on Language Czar, and that's TSRAR.com. And
exactly. I bought the domain names for spelling, so it will redirect even if you write it with American spelling. There's no problem.
Okay, cool. Or even Russian spelling. Did you get that one?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, that's true. They're now released in Cyrillic, right? So I need to go and buy that.
Yeah, definitely. But Connor, thank you so much for coming on. And you know, I at least had a lot of fun talking to you today. And we've gone a little longer than I originally asked. So I want to thank you for you know, taking the time and giving these great discussions about language learning. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Chris. And I will listen on to the future episodes of the podcast. It's been great to I think you're up to something like 35 in the last half year, so really enjoying them, and keep it going.
Exactly. Thank you so much, and see you later.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Actual Fluency Podcast. For more information, be sure to check out actualfluency.com. Until next time, enjoy learning and have a great day.